Thank the Lord. Isn't it good to brag on the Lord? You know, it's one thing to say, Lord, I have need, and He likes to hear us. Says, you have not because you ask not, but then we need to brag on Him. And our world out there needs to know that we have a God. As our brother prayed a few moments ago, He's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we can even ask or think, according to His power that works within us. Anyone else before we go on? This has been good. I'm always encouraged when I hear answers to prayer and praises to the Lord. All right, let's take God's Word and turn to the book of Jude. There's only one chapter. And just before we get to Revelation over here, the book of Jude, and it is a doxology. We're not finished yet, but it is a wonderful reminder of God's ability to keep us. And if you'd like to stand in reverence to the reading of God's Word, I invite you to join me at this time. The book of Jude, and verse 24 and 25. And then we're going over to 2 Peter chapter 2, and so if you're thumbing through the Scriptures, you can find that as well. The doxology, Jude 24. To Him who is able to keep you from falling and to present you before His glorious presence without fault and with great joy, to the only God, our Savior, be glory, majesty, power, and authority through Jesus Christ our Lord, before all ages, now and forevermore. You could probably read that every day and get a blessing. Now we can go back to 2 Peter and chapter 1, and we'll begin reading at verse 3, 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3. His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and goodness. Through these He has given us His very great and precious promises, so that through them you might participate in the divine nature and escape the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But if anyone does not have them, he is nearsighted and blind, has forgotten that he's been cleansed from his past sins. Therefore, my brothers, be all the more eager to make your calling and election sure, for if you do these things, you will never fall, and you will receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Thank you. You may be seated, and may God add His rich blessing to the reading of the Word. Father in heaven, once again, we come before you as a hungry people. We thank you, Father, for the knowledge that you are already in our midst. You promised never to leave us nor forsake us. You promised where two or three would gather in your name that you would be in the very midst. And Father, we know that to be a fact tonight. We thank you, Lord, for a reminder that you are sufficient to touch our bodies and minister to us in all possible ways. We thank you, Father, for this wonderful word tonight, the knowledge that you are able to keep us from falling, the knowledge that we can come to a time like this to make our calling and election sure and be challenged and encouraged to add to our faith and build on the solid foundation of this great salvation. Father, I ask for the anointing of the Holy Spirit. As we sang earlier in the service about that fresh anointing upon each of us, Lord, we know that that is a result of true revival. And we thank you for the blessings of yesterday, for today is a new time. We ask for that fresh anointing on the congregation as well as this your servant, that we might preach in terms that are easy to understand. And as these wonderful scriptures are expounded tonight, we pray, Lord, that you'll help us to accurately define what you would have us to hear. But Father, more than just our voice, as we preached yesterday, we long to hear your still, small voice speaking to us, pulling aside the curtain and say, this is the way, walk in it. And Father, I pray that all of us tonight, from the brand new Christian to the oldest saint here, will make a commitment that when you show us the light and you show us the way, that we'll not argue, we'll not be reluctant, we'll not negotiate, but Father, every one of us will say, yes, Lord, I will walk in that light. And Father, it could be that there's someone here tonight that you have drawn into the service for a special purpose. You want them to face some of the issues of their life. It might involve stepping out of that seat, coming down the aisle and kneeling at an altar that they might talk to you. Father, give us a spirit of obedience and cooperation. Bind the efforts of the enemy, we pray. Make this church house once again a sanctuary that we might enjoy freedom and liberty. And for all that you do, we'll give you the praise. For you're the only one worthy of our praise. In Jesus' name we ask these things. Amen. We serve an almighty God. I can't emphasize that strongly enough. I have the opportunity to brag on Jesus every single day. Last night I mentioned the fact, and I always admired Dr. Don Gibson. Some of you may remember he was our Secretary of Evangelism when we had a Department of Evangelism. And he was always talking about being on an airplane and winning someone to the Lord. I don't like to fly. I like to drive a car, and I haven't been able to invite anybody to travel with me. And so I don't have anybody to talk to other than my radio and my CD player. And I always admired these guys, our general superintendents, that would fly around the world, and they'd sit next to someone, and they'd win them to the Lord. But I had the opportunity, as I mentioned last evening, about talking to a professor of psychology and just bragging on Jesus and bragging on the almightiness of our God. If nothing else, I trust that I conveyed the idea that I serve an almighty God. We find over here in this wonderful doxology, "Now unto him who is able to keep you from falling." That's one of the hallmark scriptures that we have as a holiness-believing people. There are those that insist that sin is so great that we are almost obligated to sin in word, thought, and deed every day. But that flies in the face of what God is saying here. I have the power to keep you from falling. We serve an almighty God. It must have been an exciting experience for those disciples to walk with Jesus. We sang the song a few moments ago about the anchor holds. We remember they were on the sea. The storm came up. These seasoned, hardened fishermen had been through many a storm, but they assumed we're going down with the ship. They finally awakened Jesus and said, "We're going to drown." And Jesus says, "Peace be still." And they just sat there in awe as they saw the skies clearing, the wind ceased to blow, and the waves stopped chopping, and it became a sea of glass. And they said, "What manner of man is this that even the wind and the waves obey him?" And I don't believe they had a hard time when it came to preaching the doctrines of full salvation. Our God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we could even ask or imagine. And that's why Peter is saying his divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness. I realize that many of our brothers and sisters in the family of God would be very careful to insist that we're not saved by any measure of good works. We are not saved by works. We're saved only by the grace, the meritorious death, burial, and resurrection of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, and I would not argue with that. But the fact of the matter is, the Scripture says that if we are true children of God, we're going to bear fruit as to who we really are. And part of bearing that fruit is the list that we find over here in 2 Peter. He says we need to add to our faith patience and godliness and brotherly kindness and love. We're not saved by works, but works are a natural result of loving God with all of your soul, mind, and strength. And Peter emphasizes if we continually grow in grace, if we continually walk in the light and fellowship with the Heavenly Father, we can be certain that our calling and election is sure, and if we do these things, we will never fall. It's not our own effort, for He is the only one that can keep us from falling. But He's given us a formula. He says, "You walk close to me, you walk in the light, you love me with all of your soul, mind, and strength, and I, your Heavenly Father, will give you strength and grace to keep you from falling." And I like that. I'm encouraged by that today. And so to my brothers and sisters, maybe on the other side of the aisle, I would say no. No measure of good works can get us saved. But once we are saved, once we are filled with the Holy Spirit, we have a power that goes beyond the ability of man to understand. God can keep us from sin and sinning. He can enable us to live a godly and a holy life. I was reading Adam Clark this afternoon. It's exciting, the technology that we have today. When I had my old bus, I could carry most of my big books, and about the time I got them all out, it was time to pack them up. And I'm sure many of you perhaps could understand that. But now we don't even have to carry the disc. You can go online, and you can get Adam Clark's commentaries and all these wonderful Bible helps, and it's an exciting time. And Adam Clark was making it very clear that he said, if we fail to bear the fruit of holiness, we are insulting the atonement of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus came to change our lives forevermore. He did not come out of mere sympathy for lost mankind. The reason Jesus went to the cross was because God intended for us to be a holy people. God created us in His own image. Sin messed it up. God had a solution to the sin problem. And so Jesus came, incarnate God, in Bethlehem's manger to provide the ultimate sacrifice for the sins of all of mankind, not only to forgive us of our sin, but to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And this power is able to keep us from falling and from sinning. We go back to the temptation issue in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 17. We find a discourse of Paul talking about the possibility for God's children, if they're not careful, if they're not continually walking with God, to fall. And so it involves an effort on our part. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 11. These things happened to them as examples and were written down as warnings for us, on whom the fulfillment of the ages has come. So, if you think you are standing firm, be careful that you don't fall. No temptation has seized you, but except what is common to man. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, He will also provide a way out so that you can stand up under it. Isn't that good news? An almighty God has provided His own personal protection for every single one of His children. One of the major mistakes that modern Christians make today is by saying, if I am tempted, obviously I am not born again. I am not a Christian. The Bible says those are the very people that Satan will tempt. Sinners are already in Satan's camp. Those of God's children are the ones that Satan throws his fiery darts upon. But God is telling us here that He will not allow Satan to tempt you or me beyond the point that we're able to stand. And when we are tempted, He will show us a way out, a way of escape. That's why God says, I am able to keep you from falling. But it involves a constant awareness of the enemy out there. That's why the scripture says, those of you that think you're standing firm, be careful that you do not fall. One of the things that brings fear to my heart today is I examine the church, and I'm not just speaking of the Church of the Nazarene. It goes beyond the denominational boundaries there. But there are many churches today that say we have no need of these old-fashioned revivals of confrontational preaching. Why, we all love the Lord, and we are going to heaven one day. The fact of the matter is, the Scripture says, those of you that think you're standing firm, be careful that you do not fall. We need periodic times of sharpening our sensitivity and putting ourselves under the searchlight of the Holy Spirit of God. And we need to take the attitude of King David, who said, search me, O God, and see if there be any offensive way in me. One of the offshoots and one of the fruits of being holy and being sanctified is humility. Paul says we're not sufficient to think anything is of ourselves. Our sufficiency comes from God. One man said, if we look at ourselves in the mirror, we can see all kinds of good things. Matter of fact, in the Proverbs, the scripture says, all the ways of a man are clean in his own eyes. There is a way that seems right unto a man, but it's the way of damnation. And so we need to put ourselves into the searchlight of God's Spirit. One day Jesus was speaking to his disciple Peter, and Peter was self-sufficient. We know that was one of his struggles, one of those things that he had to finally die out to. He said, Jesus, I know things are getting stirred up around here. There are all kinds of rumors about people trying to kill you, assassinate you, do away with you. But I want you to know, Jesus, you can count on me. I will go with you to prison. I will go with you to death. And even though everyone else forsakes you, I will remain faithful. What a demonstration of self-centered assurance. I'll do this myself. Jesus basically was saying, Peter, you don't recognize the awesome power of the enemy. You don't recognize what you are up against. But I want you to know, Peter, I am praying for you. I came to the conclusion many years ago, it takes the prayers of an almighty God to intercede on my behalf that I might be victorious over temptation and live a holy life. You cannot live any other way. It takes the prayers of an almighty God. And of course, Simon Peter had to learn the hard way. Once, twice. Oh, he was prepared to draw his sword. He was ready to face Satan as a roaring lion. And Satan knows that. And sometimes he comes as the angel of light. Sometimes he comes as that wolf in sheep's clothing. And if we're not spiritually sensitive, we don't recognize how he approaches us. And all insidiously, he slips into temptation, and we're no match for that in our own strength, and we fall. And that's what Jesus foresaw. And he said, Peter, you're going to learn this lesson the hard way. But when you've recovered, I want you to do this for me. I want you to strengthen your brothers. And so it was after the resurrection of Jesus, walking along the shores of Galilee, Jesus said, Peter, I want you to feed my sheep. I want you to feed my lambs. And so it was, he writes here in 2 Peter, God in his divine power has given us everything we need, but we can't strike out on our own. We have to learn to walk with him. We have to learn to establish that intimate fellowship with him. And if we have that day by day, he is able to keep us from falling. It's possible for anyone to backslide. At lunch today, or perhaps last night, we were talking about some who are very visible in the Christian music arena. Subsequently, great embarrassment has been brought to the church worldwide because of failures of giving in to temptation, sexually and otherwise, that has brought great reproach upon their ministries. It's possible for anyone to falter. A few years ago, I was talking to an elderly gentleman who had been raised in the Church of the Nazarene, involved in ministry, had now come to a place of retirement, and after dealing with a situation at the altar, asked that we might have a conference together. And so during that moment, I prayed for wisdom. I don't have all the answers. I've never pastored. I'm just a preacher. We went into the room. And this man with tears running down his face said, Gary, I have to confess not only to God, but you are a spiritual leader. I want you to understand that I have served God all these years. But he said, even in these twilight years of my life, Satan has bombarded me with temptation upon temptation. He said, there are legitimate things in the technological world today. Our televisions, our DVDs, our iPods, and our computers. Sometimes we think that those up in years aren't interested in computers. A dear friend, pastor of mine up in Plymouth, Michigan, has dad is 94 years of age. And he asked his dad what he wanted for Christmas. And his dad said, I want a new computer. This one's too slow. I'm running out of time. I need to hurry up. And so even those of us in upper years are faced with some of those temptations. He said it happened innocently. He said there was one of these pop-ups that came. And I clicked on that pop-up. And there were the pornographic pictures there. He said the Holy Spirit checked my spirit and told me to get out of there. But he said, I have a free will. I was always curious to wonder. Someone once said, curiosity is never satisfied. He said, I clicked on another and then another. And I glanced down and hours had passed. And I filled my mind and filled my memories with those disgusting pictures. He said it just wasn't one event. He said it's insidious how Satan is able to get his foot in the door when we make one small compromise. He said, I justified myself. Oh, I've served the Lord all of these years. I've memorized Scripture. I would never have an adulterous affair. I love my wife. But he said, in those quiet moments, I would go down to my computer and I would feed my mind on these things. Finally, under the preaching of my pastor, I came under awesome conviction. He said, it's amazing how you could go into church and sit under the preaching of the Word and excuse your own behavior and your own activities. That's why Paul says, those of you that think you're standing firm, be careful, because you can still go through the motions and somewhere along the line have breached your fellowship with the Heavenly Father. He said, the pastor was faithful. I got under conviction. I've been battling this. I've had my ups and downs. I've had my successes. I've had my failures. He said, I went to the altar last night. I asked God to cleanse me and fill me. He said, when I was praying about that, I said, oh God, I have so filled my mind and my heart with these evil things. The Satan has quite a library to deal from. You know, when I was growing up, our pastors took a very firm stand against Hollywood and movies and television. Sometimes we label them as being very, very legalistic. But I think they saw the dangers, the possibilities out there. And that's why the Bible says those things that are righteous and pure and holy, think on these things. Build a bigger library than Satan has to work with and to deal with. He said, since that trip to the altar, I asked the Lord to help me. I said, could you somehow blot out those thoughts and those memories? The Bible talks about washing our mind with the Word of God. We talk about the blood of Jesus Christ able to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We read the scripture over here. When Satan tempts you, God says, I will be there to show you a way out. And he said, when I came to that word, show you, my problem was dealing with all those pictures and all of those images. I said, God, the next time Satan runs one of those pictures by my mind, could you show me something else that would help me defeat the tempter? The man broke down and wept. I didn't know he would be able to even speak after that. He said, Gary, you remember when you were a little kid and you go into the Sunday school classroom and you see the picture of Jesus holding the little children on his lap? He said, since that night, every time Satan has flashed one of those pictures, coming ahead of that picture, there's a picture of me sitting on the lap of Jesus. He's there. I never want to lose him again. It's possible for anyone to mess up. It's possible for anyone to backslide. But the good news is, God doesn't slam the door. He's willing to receive us when we humble ourselves and say, oh God, I've messed up. Am I preaching less than the message of full salvation? No. I think that's been the misunderstanding down through the ages. We do not preach that it's impossible to sin after you're sanctified holy. We preach it's possible not to sin. But we have to stay sharp. We have to add to our faith. We have to rely upon the power of an almighty God. We can never forget the fact that it takes the prayers of an almighty God interceding for you and for me to show us the way out, that we might be victorious. You remember that song that was popular many years ago? And he's ever interceding. We as a church need to be praying for one another. We need to be praying that we'll be victorious, that we'll be able to stand against the wiles of the enemy. We need to take the attitude and have the mind of Christ. When he said, Peter, I am praying for you that your faith may not fail. And so those of you that think you're standing firm, be careful that you do not fall. I don't know if anyone's having a problem in that area, but I do know that Dr. James Dobson said 80% of the men that go to church are struggling with the temptation. We live in a filthy, ungodly, obscene world today, where even some of the so-called innocent programs slip in the insidious temptations of the unclean and the wicked. The Church of Jesus Christ needs to be on guard. The Bible says, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no one will see the Lord. There are two ways that you can look at that. I need to be pure in heart. I need to live a holy life so I can cash in on the promise of God that I shall see Him one of these days. But there's a lost and dying world out there. There's a misguided, misdirected church out there. And unless they're going to see Jesus, they'll see it in the lives of men and women who live holy lives. Not in our own strength. Peter says, His divine power has given us everything we need to be victorious and to live godly and holy lives. Now unto Him who is able to keep you from falling. He's an almighty God. Satan doesn't have a hope of coming close to the power of an almighty God. But he is a formidable foe. And it's only through Christ Jesus and full salvation that we can be victorious. That's why Jesus prayed in the 17th chapter of John, Father, I'm not asking you to take my disciples out of the world. I'm asking that you keep them from the evil of this world. Sanctify them through the truth. Would you give your life totally to Him if you haven't done it already? Would you trust Him implicitly with everything that you hope and plan to be? For God doesn't want to ruin your life. He can keep you if you'll trust in Him. Heavenly Father, we love You tonight. We thank You for these precious promises. We're reminded of what Peter says. It's because of these promises that we can be partakers of the divine nature. I thank You, Lord, that no matter what area of temptation is plaguing anyone here tonight, that You are more than a match for the tempter. I thank You for the knowledge, Heavenly Father, that when those of our brothers and sisters that face other kinds of temptations are faced with those temptations, You will be there to show them a way out. But, oh God, there might be a man here tonight. We don't need to know the details. But there might be someone here tonight that's stumbled and fallen. Could be that they've been in the church all of their lives. And on the outside, they haven't been found out. But on the inside, they know they've missed it. There's another life out there. Oh God, would You somehow reach Your arms of love and encouragement about them and welcome them back into full fellowship if they're willing to meet those requirements of surrender? Lord, there might be a woman here tonight with a similar situation. There might be some of our young people that are beginning to form habits and things that, unless they correct them right now, may lead them down the path of destruction. And so, Father in heaven, I ask in the mighty name of Jesus that You would speak to every single one of us tonight. And Father, You would speak one of two things to each of us. You would either speak, it is well, all is well. Keep walking, keep trusting, keep living for Me. But, oh God, if there's somebody here tonight and they have an issue that they need to face tonight, would You invite them, come unto Me? Those of you that have missed the mark, those of you that need to get some things straightened out, and I can give you rest, I can give you restoration. Would you speak those words? With heads bowed and eyes closed, would you just kind of whisper that prayer to Jesus tonight? Jesus, what do You have to say to me? Is everything okay? Or do You see some things that I ought to pray about tonight? And if You see some things in me, Lord, that I need to pray about, I'll come, I'll go to the altar, I'll pray. I don't want it to get worse. I don't want to miss heaven. Now, if you prayed that prayer, we Nazarenes talk a lot about the witness of the Holy Spirit. If you don't have the witness of the Spirit that all is well, You really need to seek God tonight. And this altar is a wonderful place to do it. This is a blessed congregation of prayer warriors. If you can't get right in an atmosphere like this, I don't know what it's going to take. But we're going to sing, "Change My Heart, O God. Make it ever true." And while we sing, if you'd like to join me for prayer around the altar tonight, I just challenge you to don't even think about it a second time. Just jump right on out. Let's stand while we sing. The altar's open. Change my heart, O God. Make it ever true. Change my heart, O God. May I be like you. You are the potter. This is what I pray. Change my heart, O God. Make it ever true. Change my heart, O God. May I be like God has been so faithful. If he can speak to a young person, he can speak to anybody here tonight. I know that sometimes the altar is a roadblock. Some people find it very easy to just move right on out. Others are kind of intimidated by saying, well, what will people say or what will they think? I don't think we should ever be embarrassed or intimidated with the desire to be more like Jesus. And that's what this altar is all about. It's for the saint. It's for the sinner. It's for the brand new Christian who's struggling with issues. It's for the elderly gentleman that said, I need to get some things straightened out. It's getting out of hand. And so we're going to sing again. You might want to come as a couple. I don't know. I don't often say that. But we're going to sing it again. And please, don't feel like anybody's putting you under the microscope. Just consider the idea, God's spoken to me and I want to be more like Jesus when I leave tonight than when I came. While we sing, the altar's open. Change my heart, O God. Make it ever true. Change my heart, O God. May I be like you. You are the potter. This is what I pray. Change my heart, O God. Make it ever true. Change my heart, O God. May I be like I mentioned a few moments ago about some who are very familiar to the family of God who lost their way. There may be some of you here tonight that have loved ones or friends that may not be on the world stage, but you know by the fruit of their life, they one time served the Lord, but they lost their way. Can I challenge you to come around the altar tonight and represent them and say, oh God, Would you send the Holy Spirit to where they are and remind them that the door is still open, and that even though they've messed up, there is restoration and there is healing. We're going to sing, He's here. He is here. If you'd like to stay, just have a seat. If you'd like to come around the altar, just come right now. He is here. Hallelujah. He is here. Amen. He is here. Holy, holy. I will bless His name again. He is here. Listen closely. Hear Him calling out your name. He is here. You can touch Him. You will never be the same. Father in heaven, we know that You have been here throughout this time together. And the exciting thing, Lord, is to know that in a few moments as we maybe sing the final chorus and pray the last prayer and turn out the lights, that You'll be able to go with each of us to our next destination. But Father, we thank You for those who have responded, some at the altar, maybe some while they were seated there in the pew, and they said, Lord, I know that message was for me, and I'm responding in a positive way. I want to be the person. You are the potter. I'm the clay. And then, Lord, there are so many others tonight that have gathered in to intercede for a loved one, a friend, someone that may have frequented this family of God here, this local congregation, but they were not prepared for the onslaught of the enemy, and Satan slipped in, and they have fallen. And Lord, no doubt they're out there feeling as though they've blown it big time, and maybe they just ought to give up. Heavenly Father, we pray that the prevenient grace of the Holy Spirit might reach out to them one more time. Somehow may they realize that You are a God of mercy and love and compassion, and that if they will turn from their wicked way, as the Scripture says, they can have a restoration and a revival in their old relationship with You. Father, we realize that You take no pleasure in the death of anyone that goes back. Lord, You're always there saying, turn and repent, so the sin will not be your ruin. We thank You, Lord, for those wonderful challenges from Your Word. And Lord, we pray for parents tonight whose sons and daughters need to come back to Christ. Lord, we know that sometimes the scars are there, sometimes the misunderstandings overwhelm them. But, oh God, we pray that somehow the light of Your love and the gospel message will come shining through. And somewhere tonight they'll find that place of prayer and healing and restoration. Father, I would pray for some of our youth. We know that in this plan of upward basketball, there are going to be all kinds of young people attend those meetings and enjoy the fellowship. But some of those kids are having difficult times at home because of an unsaved mom or unsaved dad. Lord, we would pray that somehow the grace that You so bountifully pour out would enter into those families. And maybe as a result of the program of this church, they might come to know Christ as their Savior and their Lord. Father, we pray for revival to come to the church. We pray, Lord, that we'll not somehow water down the power in the blood of Jesus Christ to cleanse from all sin. We pray, Lord, that some of our sister denominations as well as other denominations will realize that it never was Your will for us to continue in our sinful lifestyle, but to live a holy life. And You have the power to enable us and keep us in the center of Your will. Father, thank You for those here tonight that represent other churches and other fellowships. We pray that they would enjoy a flood tide of revival in their own fellowship. And then, Lord, we do pray for our nation. We know, Lord, that it's a very vile and unclean and uncaring and selfish and self-centered generation in which we live. Lord, we know the only answer is true spiritual revival. Some would say it's impossible, but as we look down through the years of the past, we know that nothing is impossible with You. And what a tremendous event it could be worldwide for a revival of people that love You supremely. Father, we pray for our military men and women tonight in theaters of battle. We know, Lord, those are in the harm's way. We would pray a special prayer of protection upon them. We pray for their families and those loved ones that are back here stateside and many struggling perhaps trying to make ends meet. We pray, Lord, that somehow you'll be that surrogate dad and that surrogate mom to minister to those families. And then, Lord, we pray for our nation. We pray for our leaders. Lord, we pray that somehow we know that they face awesome things, awesome things. We pray, Lord, that somehow your wisdom might be imparted to them, that they might realize they're not sufficient to think anything of themselves, but they'll realize that their only hope is to trust in you. Father, for all that you do and all that you've done, we want to brag on you and thank you for all that you are. And we love you tonight. And we want to be a better example for you tomorrow than we were today. We ask these things in your wonderful name. Amen. Yeah, praise the Lord. Pastor?
Well, thank God. Thank God. His presence, His faithfulness, His truth.
God is good.
We know that our evangelist has been faithful to us, and we're grateful to God and to Him that we have heard truth tonight. What do you say? Let's keep Amen. The momentum. Keep praying. Keep minding God. Putting priority on revival.
Amen.
Praying for those that are on our hearts. God's hearing us. God's hearing us. I know that out there in homes and businesses tonight, those for whom we prayed are aware that we have the voice of God.
Sure.
His claim. God hears and answers.
Yes, He does. Amen.
Let's encourage ourselves tonight. Praise the Lord. Thank the Lord. Well, let's go home and prepare for to do battle with the devil and be faithful to God and let Him have His way even in the night as He speaks to us. Let's stand together and let's sing again, I'll Say Yes, Lord, Yes. And that'll be our closing prayer.
I'll say yes, Lord, yes, to your will and to your way. I'll say yes, Lord, yes, I will trust you and obey. When your Spirit speaks to me, with my whole heart I'll agree, and my answer will be yes, Lord.